I'm from L. A. Dot, California A. Hot. Days got shade. Let me take you round the way. A lot of out of towners can't handle this city where you wear the wrong color and it can't get tricky. But that was 86 and things done changed. We a lot more evolved with the way that we bang. Not the rips and the dogs, man, the smog might kill you. But you ain't gotta worry if you're staying north of Wilshire. Don't be scared of Crenshaw, the Slauson Super Mall, or Earl's Hot Dogs. Man, you gotta do it, y'all. Come on, come to the hood where we do the most good. Magic Johnson be owning everything like he should. Linwood, Long Beach, Hawthorne, Gardena, from the towers in Watts to the hills of Altadena, the home of the traffic and that gangbang culture. And I hope the way we do the damn thing don't insult you. I'm from L.A., Southern California, through the West Coast, where everybody is somebody and the game is fame. Do everything with the bang and everybody want to know what sets you claim.
Welcome back to the Black LA. Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a beautiful late night roundtable jumping off tonight. Tonight's guests are Black Is team members Chris Lehman, Toria Williams, John and Triana Wood, Obina Obijiaku, and special guest Craig Stewart, who is a writer. And tonight's topic is one that we're just kind of throwing on the table. We're improvising tonight, listeners. And this was actually Craig's suggestion. Black people in Los Angeles versus black people everywhere else. And Craig has been in Los Angeles now, you said a year?
10 months. It'll be a year in April.
Okay. As a native to this city, I will say this. I honestly feel like my city is often misrepresented because so many people who live in Los Angeles are not from here. Yeah. So luckily, you know, and Toria, who is an LA girl, is able to bring you around a lot of other natives. I feel like we're pretty much, we're cool people. You know what I'm saying? We're hot weather adjusted folks. So we don't necessarily do well in the rain or in the snow. But overall, we tend to be pretty cool people. I think overall, the nation has a view of Los Angeles as Hollywood. And so if you get the idea that black folks here are just all about that particular lifestyle, you don't get the true experience of dealing with actual people. I don't know why she laughing. She from L.A. too. Mm-hmm. But that's how it is. That's how it is. That to me is my experience being a native looking out. Because it's always interesting if I go somewhere else and I tell folks I'm from L.A., automatically I must know Snoop Dogg and whatever other famous Los Angeles person that comes to mind.
Yeah, you gangbang.
Right. I get what set did I claim growing up, all that kind of stuff. Can I crip walk, all of that. You know I can. I can crip walk and I can blood walk. Cross it out.
Oh.
That's my experience, though. Jump in.
I like the way this one sounds better. This is Craig. Well, I mean, I've only lived here 10 months. I moved here from Atlanta. Atlanta is a city also where most of the people that live in that city are not from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I can't really give California a pass for that.
Okay.
Because most of the people that I met in Atlanta was from someplace else.
Okay.
For me, it's not so much that about L.A. I think that the people, and I've been saying this jokingly, I think I may have said this to Toria when we ran into each other in Target. The black people in L.A. are almost like a tofu black. They're not really like the real meat. They're not real chicken. They're like a tofu black.
And we need details.
And what I mean, okay, I'm a writer. I'm going to give you so much imagery. What I mean is, it's like on the East Coast, and I'm from Maryland, but on the East Coast, I went to college in Virginia, lived in Atlanta. So I'm just telling you my experience up and down the East Coast. On the East Coast, in any of those cities, mm-hmm. if I was in the post office and some shit broke down and it was given black against white or black against other, mm-hmm. even complete strangers would come to my defense and be like, oh, you okay? Well, what's going on? But out here, black folks, they look at you, they're gonna act like they don't know what's going on. You really might be on your own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And even like basic things like directions, like when I got out here and I needed directions, excuse me, could you, people looking at you like, what the fuck do you want? Like people looking at you like, what are you about to say to me? Like, it's like people are so in their own world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, black people, I mean, it's like it's such a range. It's really not really a lot of in between. It's like you got extremely out of touch bougie black folks that's mm-hmm. just kind of flighty. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. really just kind of moving with the wind. And mm-hmm. then you got the extremely hood ones that you don't, you know what I mean? It's like we're the regular in the middle black folks. Like
you
it's
have
just,
discovered us. We right
okay,
here.
Okay, maybe y'all right here. Maybe y'all right here. But it's like, it's almost like there's not a sense of community here.
Yeah.
You know? And like people aren't as willing or apt to help you or to look out for you. It's like in the, on the East Coast, like the things that we would do aside from like going out to eat or stuff like that, like you come to people's houses, you just bring a bottle and you come and you sit and you listen to music and you just talk. People don't do that here. And I think part of it is because the setup is different here in LA. Most people are renting a room or, you know, they just don't, mm-hmm. they don't have their own stuff. So you just don't really invite people over. And then the lay of the land is so much different. Like you got right. people that live way out in North Hollywood and people that live way over in Echo Park. And then you got people that live over here in the Crenshaw District. It's just so, it just doesn't lend itself to inviting people over to come and eat. Exactly. And then it's just like, I guess because it's so expensive here. It's like, nigga, I ain't got no money to be feeding you. You know what I mean? So it's just, you just don't do that. And so it's a place where I feel I could get lonely here easily. Mm.
And that makes me feel bad as a native. The thing that trips me out, I feel like that individualistic mindset, I don't want to say it's brand new to the city, but I don't think it was always like that. Exactly. I feel like over the last decade, black people have stopped speaking to each other out here in a way where it used to be if you saw somebody black, there was a level of acknowledgement just off the strength that you were black. But you're definitely right in regards to LA is so spread out, you know, everywhere is considered LA. Like that is a big umbrella term mm-hmm. for a lot of different little enclaves.
Yeah.
And that and us not having a functioning public transportation system makes it difficult for folks to come together.
Yeah.
But it does happen. I think you just have to tap into a community and become a part of it.
Now, I watched the degrade of my community. Pretty much, I grew up. Well, I'm young. I'm part of this new generation, but I didn't have that mindset. Like everybody on my shut up, everybody on my street knew each other. Mm-hmm. But you know, as the old people died off, you know, the kids moved away. Mm-hmm. You get all these new neighbors that move in. They don't want to invite themselves over to introduce themselves. Like we would have block parties. We don't do that no more. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a time I knew everybody on both sides of my street, the people that live behind them, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it seems like as more people come to LA, we pretty much close ourselves off and be like, well, it's too hard to even bother to get to know everybody when everything is constantly changing, constantly moving. And you kind of, you lose yourself and you figure, I ain't got time to deal with nobody else. So you live in a bubble. And I didn't realize that until, you know, I left LA for a while. And it was like, when I went to Alabama, it was like, why are you talking to me? Like, I don't know you. You might try to do something to me. Because so much changed for me, like in my neighborhood, so much changed that I didn't know the person that was living next door to me. And I think you have to recognize that and step outside of it and get back to it. LA wasn't always like that. Like, you had your own communities where everybody knew everybody. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like the busier the city got, the more people just lost touch.
What's up, y'all? This is Malk Dees, and you are listening to the Black Is Break.
You know, you guys are so kind. We've asked like 50 people already and nobody would stop to, you know, and we're like, you know, it's okay. You know, we understand. So, I mean, I understand. And me being in a situation where I've been out in Atlanta or been out in Texas and somebody would say something to me and I'm like, you know, like you say hello and then you'd be surprised that somebody say hello back. So yeah, I could totally understand.
And I also think it depends on what part of LA you grew up in. As a baby from Watts, when someone asked me where I was from, I say Watts. Yeah. my college roommate was from Brooklyn, and she said, you know what? Folks from Watts rep Watts like it's a borough. You know, yeah. Even till this day, we're yeah, like, Watts? You know, like, where you from? Watts? My students, those are my Watts babies. Miss Williams is a Watts baby like y'all, you know. And so we had that sense of community even till this day. Mm-hmm. You know, I could go from my house into somebody else's house, and you're right. So going from Watts and then going to Virginia, I got an experience because I didn't go to school in Watts when I was in middle school and high school, and that's when I started to see the separation of blacks, you mm-hmm. know, that we're not all down for one another. Mm-hmm. We don't all, you know, embrace one another. And then when I went to school in Virginia, and even, you know, Hampton, I love Hampton. There was some separation on Hampton, too. There was the haves and the have-nots there. But the more you traveled across the East Coast and the Southeast and during in the South, you realize that there is a sense of a black community. I always say, well, one, there are no HBCUs on the West Coast. So I think the HBCU kind of creates that sense of community. We don't have that here. Mm-hmm. We got UCLA, USC, and we love them. You know, mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's a part of the culture. But those places definitely lend itself and have a community of black people that are successful. We do have the Hollywood market. So when we look at successful blacks in Los Angeles, we're looking at Hollywood, mm-hmm. you know, or our athletes or our street folks, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know. Then when you go south, you see a different kind of a black person, absolutely. Who's open to embracing and who's open to saying, hey, come over and have dinner and things like that. But I always say that's the one thing I wish we had in LA. Yeah, we have it amongst our circle, but it's hard for us to go find a little black club and go sit in, have some drinks, and just enjoy.
There's no such thing as a black club out here.
Right.
And it's go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is Craig again. I mean, people just don't feel friendly. And I think it goes to like what you were saying about, you know, you see people walking with the maps trying to figure out where they're going. Like, people just, I mean, like, I miss, like, people, like, black people. You walking down the street, you see somebody, they just nod. You don't know them. They might not say hello, but they might nod or give you a look like, hey, what's going on? But out here, niggas walking with tunnel vision. Like, they don't give you no eye contact. And, like, I was sitting outside of a restaurant one day. I was with a friend of mine from, well, he lived in Atlanta at one point, too, but he's from Kansas City. And we were sitting, and we were just kind of, like, talking, and, like, we're the kind of people that, it could be a stranger, and like if you just walking down the street, we might say something to you just to kind of engage you, depending on what it is. And this woman was sitting in the restaurant right in front of us. It was like an outdoor patio, and she said, "You two aren't from here, are you?" And we looked at her, and she was, and we were like, "No, why?" And she's like, "I can tell." She said, "Because people from LA just don't speak to strangers." Like, I mean, she was like, "You guys are just," she said, "but I'm from the East Coast too, so I get it." But I don't know, you just don't see that a lot. You really don't.
I almost feel like that gives us a bad rap, because I feel like those of us who are from here, who grew up here, we do speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happened. And I feel like I see it more with people who are a bit younger than me, people maybe in their 20s, where they're just cut off from being socially engaged with one another. Folks of my generation, people that are in their early 30s, for the most part, if I see somebody and acknowledge them, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get a response. Every now and again, I'll get somebody like they didn't see me at all, and I'm like, that person has their issue. But there's definitely more of those people than there are of us, and it's cultivating this belief that LA is this cold city and that the black community is such a cold, disconnected group of people, when in actuality, I personally don't feel it's that way, but it's growing to be that way, and it's sad.
You know, when I was listening, this is John Wood, by the way. When I was listening to Craig speak, actually, the thing that struck me is just that what you were saying about the difference between black people here and black people back east and down south. To me, that's just the difference between people in Los Angeles and people, you know, in the south and back east and whatnot. And as a general rule, I think that the reason for that is because you have a little more tradition, I think, down south. A lot of people who come out to Los Angeles, and maybe this explains somewhat the dynamic. For me, I've always looked at LA as being relatively cold in terms of mannerisms and warmth and whatnot. You know, I think that people who are fresh from the south, or maybe whose parents are fresh from the south, my father's from Tennessee, you know, and that, even though I've never been to Tennessee, that has a lot to do with why I am the way I am, because I will approach strangers. I've watched my father act that way his whole life, you know, and yet I'm used to people looking at me kind of like, what you talking to me for? But I expect it, and it's part of the humor for me, you know, but I'm sort of different in that respect. In Los Angeles, we're kind of divorced from that traditional Southern hospitality, you know, And so for us, life is very fast-paced. It's about image. It's about being aloof. It's, to a certain extent, it's about being Hollywood, even if you're not consciously trying to be that. But people expect you to be successful. They expect you to be serious. They expect you to be about business. There's L.A. is not really about relaxation, you know?
Everybody out here wants you to believe that they are somebody.
Exactly. And, and interestingly, and I think sadly, accessibility kind of... kind of offends that sense. If you're accessible, it means you're not serious. You're not really doing anything. You know, at least I think the way we perceive it as Angelenos, you know, not people here at this table necessarily, but the way people's mindsets are, because we're all trying to kind of stick our noses up a little bit.
And what's so interesting is most of us come from that Southern hospitality.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah, most of us are rooted there. Yeah. Our Absolutely. Families are from there. Black you know
people,
what I mean?
Black people, yes. Although my dad is white, and he's from Tennessee, so I get it from that side. But yeah, I think that with white folks, a lot of them... Now, I might be wrong about this, but as a rule, I think you have more white families who have been here for a longer period of time. I think black families have been coming from the South, I think, a bit more recently and a bit somewhat higher in numbers. And so you're starting to see generations, younger generations, drift more and more from those Southern roots and kind of becoming a little bit more like the natives, I think, in terms of being estranged from those typical mannerisms that you know that I think Craig was talking about.
Yeah, you brought up a good point too about culture, because even though my parents are not from the South, I think culturally, my dad or parents taught me to speak. Mm-hmm. You walk into somebody's house, you speak.
Right.
My brother-in-law who's I think he just turned 19, but like when he was 17, had this girlfriend. He brought her to the house, and he walked in, said, "Hey, you know, said acknowledge me," and his girlfriend walked right past.
I see that a lot,
I had an issue with that.
Yeah, because that'll get you turned out of doors.
Exactly, right. You know. But with that, and because of the community, like the Nigerian African community, stuff like that. When you see your uncle or aunt, or well, you know, with our community, everybody's your uncle, your aunt, but
everybody your cousin.
Yeah, you know, but you were taught to speak. You don't you don't come into a place, even if it's a big hall with everybody in there, if it takes you all night, you go to every person and you say hello, acknowledge. And that and my wife teases me about this, because I'll come home, I remember this neighbor in this apartment building that we lived at, black guy, and he and I would usually come home at the same time from work. And every time I saw him, I spoke, say, "Hey, how you doing?" And he would walk right past me. Looking dead at me, would walk right past me. I mean, after a while, he eventually spoke and warmed up. And I mean, he didn't have anything against me. It was just that he just never spoke. And my wife would say, "Why do you keep speaking?" I'm like, "I can't help it. If I'm passing somebody and our eyes meet, I'm going to acknowledge that person." I mean, it's rude to not do that, you know? So,
you know what? This is making me think of a podcast we had a while ago, and one of our family members, Mike Eagle, he was making the point, because he's from Chicago, and he was saying he was over here in Leimert, which is our black Mecca, so to speak, and how he would talk to people and they would look at him like he was crazy.
Yeah.
And I found that so interesting. It kind of like threw me off in the moment when he said it, because you would think of any time for us to be in a place of sort of solidarity and communicating with one another is in an area where it's all just us.
Exactly.
But he said he was taught by people that because of the time period, LA was so just heavily riddled with gang violence, that's what kind of breeded this sort of self-protective behavior in people, because you never know if somebody is looking at you or talking to you because they think you're a mark, right?
Yeah.
You know, are they being friendly or are they sizing you up?
Right.
Yeah. I thought about that. This is Chris. I was going to say the same thing too. I know growing up as a kid in the 80s and having that whole gang culture, you didn't know somebody was going to approach you just on some what set you from or this and that. I mean, you know, growing up in Angelville, people were getting jacked for jackets or just whatever, or the Jordan conversation, just getting jacked for whatever the hell. So people were like, "Let me not look at somebody afraid that if I look at them, they're going to be like, hey, that means I can come in and just ask you something and like, oh, fuck, let me just not look at you so no confrontation is necessary."
This is Craig. I mean, I think that's the best. The gang thing is the best thing that I've heard. But like, I was like literally like a couple weeks ago, I was in the car and this black guy pulled up beside me And there's like all this construction going on La Cienega, like going down towards the Target. And I was in that lane to go that way, but I was getting off right at the first exit because I mean right at Slauson because I was going to the gym. And this black guy pulled up beside me and said, "Hey, don't go that way." He said, "Because it's a lot of construction. It's backed up down there." And I looked at him. I was like stunned. I was like, "Wow!" Like I couldn't believe that he like tooted his horn to tell me not because I had never experienced that. But so I thought that was a good thing. I was like, "He must be from the East Coast." But but then here's the thing. It's like before I came out here, like I had two friends that lived here, who from the East Coast. And they both said to me, you know, before you come out here, you got to make sure you have your shit together because L.A. is just not a place where people are friendly and where they're going to just, like, lend themselves to you and help you out and just look out for you. Like, they had all of this information. Right. Like, you got to be careful. You know, you got to really pay attention because people only gravitate to you if they think they can get something from you or if they think, you know, you trying to get into an industry or something. They know who you are. You know, they know who you know. You know, it's really funny like that. But you do have this idea of what L.A. is, what it looks like, what it feels like before you get out here. I visited several times before I came. But what you see on television is not what you see mm-hmm. when you get here. With television, when you think of L.A., you think of Hollywood. You think of the Hollywood sign. You think of Rodeo.
Less than 10%.
Yeah, you think of Melrose. And then I get out here, and it's like, well, nigga, it's Crenshaw. There's Slauson and Stalker. And like a lot of the people that I was running with didn't even go to Melrose. They didn't even go to Beverly Hills. They didn't even go to Hollywood. And like,
Hollywood is one of the most messed up places we got.
Right. And I'm telling these people, and they're like, "Oh, what did you do this weekend?" And I'm like, "Oh, I went over to Santa Monica to do it." And they're like, "Oh, really? I never even heard of that." It's like the black people don't leave.
No, they don't.
Crenshaw. No,
you go over to. You literally, Craig. You literally have black people who spend their entire lives.
Yes.
In the hood. They don't get out of Compton or Watts.
They don't want us over here.
But that has everything to do with the way the city is set.
Santa Monica
is
like a different country.
You can get anywhere in this city for the most part in 20 minutes with decent transportation. Yeah. But so many people have their own little enclave jumping off. So, you know, if I live in Torrance or Rancho Palos Verdes, I have no need to go to Santa Monica because everything I need is right here. Mm-hmm. Folks in the valley don't come on the other side of the mountain. People in LA, you know, don't go to the valley. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like two entirely different worlds. Right. Yeah, unless it's for work. And even then, people are bitching them on and about that.
You just go. Yeah. And you have this idea that idea that LA is like this big city. But LA really is like a big suburb.
It's like a little bunch of little towns.
It is. Yeah.
but you know,
it's little pockets. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing but you do have to appreciate about Los Angeles. Los Angeles, geographically speaking, is literally the biggest city in the world, you know. And you know, when we talk about different kinds of black people, I'm not terribly well traveled, so I can't speak too much about black people around the country. Although my best friend was growing up was from Texas, and I met some of his cousins once. You ever watched Boomhauer on King of the Hill?
Yeah.
I just think of a black Boomhauer, and this was like the way two or three of his cousins. I can't even do his voice. I was like, "Hey, what am I gonna do? What's going on? What's happening?"
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it like, well, but within Los Angeles, you have many different kinds of black people, and me, I don't have a. In many respects, my African American experience is not typical because I'm biracial, you know, straight biracial. I grew up in Culver City, which there are a few more black people. There are more black people who at least travel through the city now than when I was growing up. I don't know if you guys. Well, you guys know the Fox Hills Mall, most of you.
Westfield.
Right. You got to know that people who live in... I'm sorry, John. I'm just kind of interjecting, not to stop you entirely, but those of us that kind of grew up in L.A. proper, city center, we get everywhere for the most part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I grew up pretty much city center. So you get into Culver City, you're going to get to the west side, you're going to get down to the south, you know, you're going to get all over the city.
Well, yeah, of course. I was just going to say, when I was growing up, there weren't very many black people at Fox Hills Mall. It was pretty much all white people. Now you go there and it's just like it's just Baldwin Hills.
Fox Hills was always kind of like the black mall.
Fox Hills was always the black mall.
Depends on when you were talking about. Like we were in junior high school before, you know, I remember when there was an arcade in Fox Hills.
Oh, I remember that too. Yeah. I was a little kid. I was mad
when that arcade disappeared. In the middle of the mall.
Yes, around that time, there was black people at that mall. That was the mall as a black kid.
Because that was the only mall we had that was functioning. This one wasn't really popping. It was in a state of disrepair. Yeah. And unless you was going to Hawthorne, which no longer exists.
Right, the Hawthorne Mall.
Right.
Yeah, but right. as a kid growing up, I gravitated more towards the black kids who came from, you know, somewhat more suburban areas or whatnot, just because, be real with you, they're a bit less scary to me. Whoa. You know, the kids that got bussed in are the kids that were like, you know, from Inglewood or, you know, from Watts or whatnot.
It's true.
They knew that. We knew they were scary. And
we were scary.
Y'all were scary. Tori's still scary, but that's okay.
If you like what you're hearing so far, make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online. Now, back to the show.
Because it's a different attitude. It's a different machismo or whatnot. You know, they're real quick to jump up in your face. You know, and me, it was just kind of like, well, let's reason it out. You know, now as I got older, then I was trying to go to house parties in Inglewood and stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, let me see what's going on over there. You know. But LA is big enough to where you have a pretty diverse set of experiences within them, you know. But the thing that they all kind of have in common now, unfortunately, is just that there's just much less warmth between people of any stripe, any color, really. It's not just a black thing, you know. I guess just because of the dynamics of the city at this point.
And I think that speaks to what Craig is talking about, because us Watts babies getting on those buses coming into y'all neighborhood knew that we were the kids that got bused, because they put us all on one bus. And that was a separation right there of the blacks. You know, we knew that we weren't from, you know, McCarthy Park or those communities, Crescent Heights or things like that. So there was a separation even then. Now, although, you know, I went in with a chip on my shoulder, absolutely, because it was like, I wish one of y'all would, because I'm a bust y'all grade-wise and physical, too, if we got to go there. But there was a separation. I think that's what you're talking to, as opposed to, because at the end of the day, I realized most of us was in the same predicament. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that all the blacks on the west side were fronting, but, you know, some people didn't have a window, didn't have a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out. It was keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then there was a time, because I had to think about this. When I came home from school, there was a small, slight, you know, black community. We had the Century Club. We had Savannah West.
Yeah.
We had Duets. Yeah, everybody's like, ooh, right? And we had the place you could go to on Tuesdays. I can't remember the place. It was like a little restaurant. We had The Rain that was owned by Keyshawn Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we were, you know, we had this little black community that was starting. But again, it was that affluent or that pretend to be affluent black community. Not necessarily the folks from Compton and Watts were welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I went, but, and of course I was always repping Watts, but we didn't get that open invitation to come over to Beverly Hills and eat dinner at The Rain.
Yeah, and the same thing for like people who grew up in, the hood in LA, because I wasn't always living in Leimert. You know, when I went to my high school, my junior high and high school, Laces, was comprised of so many different types of black people. And I think that's when I was really introduced to like some of the affluent black people in this city, people whose parents own several McDonald's franchises and stuff like that. And so even in that sect, you know, and my school was small, they'd be quick to pinpoint, oh, you're a little girl that shops at the swap meet. You're not shopping at Beverly Center like me. You know, and so you get that kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. I think, though, being one of the few people who went to college out here, because so many of my friends left and went down south or went up to the Bay for school, going to college out here, you got a very different LA experience.
Uh-huh.
Because there weren't that many of us from here going to school here.
Right.
And so that,
LA.
Right. And that cultivated a very different type of black community. There were a lot of people from the Bay Area, a lot of folks from the East Coast that were going to school here when I was going to school here. And it was cool. It was very, very cool. But it was very different. Very, very different.
This is the only thing, the last thing I want to say. This is Craig.
Don't say last.
With respect to L.A. With respect to L.A. I think L.A. is a great city. Like, I love it. I'm here because, you know, it feels good. But I think that with respect to black people here, too, that I notice, black folks here are a lot more passive when it comes to white folks and even Hispanics. Uh-oh. I'm not going to isolate the Mexicans, but I just feel like...
When you say passive...
They let a lot of shit...
Just ride.
Mm-hmm. Shit that blacks on the East Coast don't really go for. And of course, on the East Coast, we only really have the opposition of white folks. I mean, because Hispanic people aren't doing as well as they are here in great numbers like they are here. You know, they have businesses and things like that. But in
Mexico's across the street.
Yeah. Huh?
Mexico's across the street.
Right. So you have more. And, you know, you have Hispanic entrepreneurs and things like that. But on the East Coast, you don't really see a lot of that. You see a lot of them working for other people.
Okay.
And so I've noticed, like, the attitude mm-hmm. of, like, Hispanic people towards black folks, it's almost like this superior kind of shit going on.
You some uppity Mexicans on the West Coast.
I've seen it. And it's like, but even the response of black people towards it, it's like, I don't know, they just don't really say much. Like, I was working a job when I first got out here. I don't work now, but because my mom.
Right.
You know, because it was a lack of, it's really what it was. I'm just going to tell you. But, like, the black folks, they were just afraid to say anything. I mean, not just about the Hispanic people, but the white people, too.
Yeah.
Like, shit we wouldn't even normally go for on the East Coast anybody.
We need that paycheck.
Right. Right. And I couldn't, and even though I was right, these niggas were scared to back me up.
I was just like, what just happened? You're not going to find that positive attitude within this household at all.
No.
But
right.
I will tell you this much, and I'm thinking of a friend of mine who's from South Carolina who is a white man.
Uh-huh.
And he's telling me, you know, growing up in South Carolina, he's very comfortable with black people because the city he grew up in was just that, white and black. Now, Hispanic and Asian, that's unfamiliar to him. Now, for us,
right.
like the school we went to, Chris and I went to the same junior high and high school. It was, promise you, 25% of everybody, mm-hmm. white, black, Asian, and Hispanic. So that just made you very comfortable and familiar with other groups. So you never felt like they're like out of pocket with them. It wasn't that big of a difference. You recognized that there was a racial difference, of course. But there was a definite comfort that I feel like we grew up experiencing because we did grow up with such diversity mm-hmm. in one space.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not all negative because I think these are just things that I've noticed just from being here.
Right.
And I think that a lot of the camaraderie that I'm missing, it's because it is so expensive to be here. And I think people are just so focused on a hustle.
Yeah.
That they don't really have time to build and foster friendships and relationships.
And you did move out here at like the worst possible.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think the East Coast kind of got the recession first. I think it kind of trickled here last.
Yeah.
But the other thing too, I was going to say, and I think I just lost my train. Oh, I see a lot of black men with other women.
Oh yeah, that's very popular here.
And so when that's I see a black man with a black woman, I'm like, it's like I just saw a unicorn. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh my
but
god. So
too,
black women got it tough here.
Also too, when she started to see a lot of times, like I lived in Colorado, it's a lot of black women with other guys.
Yeah.
And, you know,
black people don't date each other in Colorado. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black men are with white women and black
law.
Women are with, black women are with white men.
Now more than so many gathered together.
and I was shocked if I met another couple like us.
You got little mixed babies just falling
everywhere.
Out of trees. I was so happy. I felt so comfortable.
And the interracial dating speaks to speaks to the diversity of Los Angeles, because I remember when I first went to Hampton, I had my little yearbook. And they were like, you went to school with Asian kids? Well, no, first they didn't even say Asian. They said Chinese.
Right.
And I'd be the one. Yeah. And I'm like, no, they're Asian. Like, because we don't know if they're Chinese. They could be Korean.
Right. Right.
Japanese. Right. And so for that, I do love LA, because when I went back east, you know, and I'm like, oh, I cook this and I can cook that. And they're like, you know how to cook tacos? You cook enchiladas? You do this? And I'm like, absolutely, because the Garcias live next door to me.
Right. Yes. And they taught me how to make tamales.
Absolutely. And, you know, it speaks to, like, you know, I want to say it was Ishmael Reed, maybe not, but he spoke of walking the streets of Los Angeles and how you would pass, like, the fried fish, and you would pass the Vietnamese restaurant, and you would pass. And that is the beauty of our culture.
The melting pot.
He called it a bouillabaisse. He didn't call it a melting pot. Because A melting pot means we melt into one thing.
Craig, out of curiosity, in Atlanta, do they have places that serve, that specialize in serving fried chicken, Chinese food, and donuts like we got out here? Or is that just us?
That's just y'all. That's just y'all.
I had a feeling.
It's a damn shame. Chicken. It's one within walking distance from here, right, doing the exact
Louisiana
same
fried
thing.
Chicken and chow mein and donuts.
I had teriyaki chicken.
No,
speaking of chicken, I'm not ready. I think the separation thing is a real problem, though, because, you know, I grew up in Watts, but for the majority of my childhood, I either went to a Christian school outside of Watts, or I went to, I went to high school in Lakewood, and all my friends lived in Orange County. So I was always the Oreo. Mm-hmm. I was always isolated in my bubble. I had a few friends that I knew because we grew up together. But if it wasn't for them protecting me from half the other kids in my neighborhood, I probably would have got beat up every day.
And see, my experience was just the opposite. It was maybe because busing was like taking its toll in the inner city or in Watts. Like, they knew. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the kids over here are doing. Like, I remember walking down the street past liquor stores and the drunks be like, that's why I stay in school, girl. You know, things like that. They supported us. So I never felt like isolated. I think, I had a chip on my shoulder because I already knew that I was going to be perceived as one of the kids getting bussed. So this really isn't my neighborhood, and y'all know y'all bringing me in. Right. So I had more of a chip with the kids that I was coming to.
Was getting bussed a bad thing? Because I
got bussed. Well, no. I was never bussed. I made a conscious decision. I told my mom, I said, I don't want to go to school in LA Unified. If I'm not going to go to Christian school anymore, I don't want to go to LA Unified. It sucks. Because, you know, I'm in elementary in the early 90s, which most of you guys probably were in the 80s. And it was a lot different. Like, my brother and my sister didn't have that experience. No. Right. My brother and my sister are in their 30s.
Blue Ribbon School.
But I'm
I was right at 99th Street Elementary.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it was very different. It was a different contrast just looking at my brother and my sister, how they went to other schools, but at the time, everybody was going to other schools. And when I came along, I'm just the odd one out. I was the little whitewashed black girl that had to go to a white school because she chose to.
Wow. Yeah. LA is weird like that. I mean, I think half the people who live in LA are not from LA. We have pretty much every race of people in Los Angeles. I mean, you got all, you know, Asians of every race, Hispanics of pretty much every race. You've got, you know, Persians and Indians of that. I mean, you have a melting pot of everything, and it's so big.
That's why LA is awesome.
Right. We have a little Tokyo, right. A little Armenia, a little India.
Right. And I mean, growing up, the last big issue of race where black people stood out and were pissed off was the Watts riots.
Yeah.
I'm talking about as a kid when before the LA riots happened, it was a Watts riot.
I don't remember those.
But I mean, just having, you know, and I mean, it's funny when you meet black people here and you find out that they know somebody else, we're always like, wow, the black LA community is small as hell.
We do say that a lot.
And you're right. At one point in time, there was that black community because prior to the Watts riots, if you know the history of Central Avenue, that's where all, you know, of the celebrity blacks and everybody, the doctors, the lawyers, they flocked to Hotel Dunbar, you know, Watts riots, they were setting it off. Like, we gonna do this as a black. So there was that sense of community. And I also think that it's always within LA. Like, he was like, I'm from Inglewood. You know, when you get into those suburbs, or I don't know if we can call Watson Compton suburbs, but
it's a suburb.
when you get into those little spots, people rep that town because that sense of black community is there. Where are you from? Linwood? Where are you from? Compton? Long Beach? You know, and they make it very clear, you know, I'm from the LBC. I'm not
from Los Angeles.
Right. I'm not from the northern part. LBC means I'm in the hood. I'm off Greenleaf somewhere.
Right.
You know? So I think when you get within LA, there are those little pockets of community, black community, but unfortunately, a lot of times that's the community that's struggling.
True.
You know, with the exception of our Ladera, you know, and some of us got problems with our Ladera. our Ladera. I call it our Ladera, you know. So it is interesting. I love the South, I love the East, but I love LA too.
Well, Craig, I think you have found the right circle of people.
We'll see, because I mean, you know, the folks that I've met, like, they're like, oh yeah, give me your number, da 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 da, and you don't hear from niggas no more.
for that one.
Right.
Don't fall for that one.
It's like, oh my God, I'm so glad I met you. And da da da.
Let's go.
Right, right. And then you text them, they're like, who is this?
Right.
So everybody give everybody take a day to call Craig.
Right.
Yeah, nigga, what?
What are you doing? Just texting to see if you're okay.
Right, right. You're not alone.
Check out the hippest podcast in America, BlackIsOnline.com.
I guess they were from Atlanta or whatever southern state, and they were like, "Oh yeah, you know, we don't pay for our bill because you know men just pay. You know that's what they do, well, you know." And
I can say, when I was in it, I can say every time I've gone to Atlanta and I've gone to the bar or I've gone to dinner, someone picks up the tab and yes, and they're like, "Thank you, sister, from, you know, send and talk to me." No pun, you know, no motives, not trying to get you to know.
ATL
get that.
Is a different.
It's a different animal. But see, times are harder, LA. So anybody paying? I mean, you got to pay for parking. I mean, time you crank up your car, you spend $10 out here before you even leave the house.
I got a marriage proposal down in ATL just off a conversation. I was like, seriously?
Yeah. How you doing, sister? I got the drinks. I got this.
What
scares
me the most, like when I was living in the South, I would get so freaked out by just random dudes approaching me like, nigga, I will stab you.
But to be fair, Atlanta is a city where I think it's like 13 women to one guy. It's like something, it's something crazy like that. It's something crazy. So, I mean, on the flip side of it, you're going to get guys doing it because especially they're doing well. You know, it's a city where, like you said, Toria, all of the HBCU, the majority of them are right there. So you have a crop of black men that are educated. Right. They are doing well. They own homes and they know they're a commodity.
Right.
So, right. You know, they're going to take advantage of it.
And the East Coast has its own vibe, too. The brothers there, I don't know. Brothers, if I think about time that I've spent in New York, brothers there are really friendly, too.
Yes. And, oh, my God, when I was in New York, I was like, he's black, and he's driving the garbage truck. Like, I was just like, hey. Walking the subway, black people. Walking the airport, black people. Like, what? Hey. Yeah.
And I remember I had to also start to learn about the different groups of folks in New York, too. I remember visiting a homeboy of mine. I'm going down the street, and he's like, you see all these black people? They're not black people. They're Dominican. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got those different groups.
Down there.
Yeah.
They will chew you out, too, if you mistakenly be like, oh, so you're black, too, huh?
Or come up to you speaking Spanish, and I'm like, I can't help you.
I think it's important to travel, though. I mean, that's one of the things I've noticed, too. Absolutely. A lot of the people out here haven't been.
And they're not willing to either. Yeah. A lot of them don't cross their mind.
They haven't been past Las Vegas.
That's true.
A lot of people here, especially in the industry, don't cross their mind.
And a lot of them come from other places.
Yes. Yeah.
But they never think about going back. Like, I think about that with my father, who grew up in Alabama and at a time when the racial tension was so high. And so, like, we have family reunions down in Mississippi. He doesn't want me to take my son. He's like, I don't want him to have anything he doesn't need to see Mississippi at all. And even though that's where our family is from, he has absolutely no interest in introducing his grandson to that. And based off of his experiences, you know, so can't ever negate that. Well, I thank you all. Anybody have anything else to say?
Yeah, ladies, if you want to get treated, go to Atlanta.
Right. You might get a marriage proposal.
Or D.C.
Or D.C., chocolate city.
D.C., I was stopping traffic in D.C. I felt good about myself. Yes. I was feeling real
good
about
myself. They love us black women.
Well, we thank you for checking us out, y'all. Another 45-minute Black Is break.
Flows, home of the pornos, we mess up award shows, the weather's always warm, so the women wear short clothes, our beaches ain't the cleanest, but our is the greenest, and we got the blonde bombshells and sick Latinas, the mixin', the dark skin, light skin, sisters where you never have to wear your triple goose, on Christmas you could miss us with the blizzards and the winters, the hurricanes, lessons and some glasses with some actresses, perfect frame, silicone, really don't matter if she paid for it, every single trend you could probably think of. Lay for it, bandanas, facelifts, quick trips to Vegas, white t-shirt, Chuck Taylors or them K-Swiss, pop locking, crip walking, chronic blunts, G-Funk, a place that everybody hate, but you gotta see once, L.A.
Southern California through the West Coast, where everybody is somebody and the game is fame. Do everything with the bang and everybody wanna know what sets you claim. I'm from L.A. Southern California through the West Coast, where everybody is somebody and the game is fame. Do